The Atlanta Hawks fall in heartbreaking fashion in overtime to the San Antonio Spurs, 133-126.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Atlanta Hawks podcast. I am your host, Tim Ogles, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Mikey Kabrinsky, where we talk everything Hawks. Let's go!
All right, Mikey, this is a very interesting game. The Atlanta Hawks, you know, unfortunately couldn't come out with a win in overtime to the San Antonio Spurs. Mikey, what's your just initial thoughts on this game?
This game had everything. It was a barn burner. It had overtime. It had crazy highlight plays. It had crazy highlight threes, dunks, referee craziness, some injuries. This game had everything. As a basketball fan, this was probably one to watch, especially if you're objective from both sides. But looking into the Hawks side of things here, Tim, the number one number that sticks out to me here, it's got to be the turnovers. Against another subpar team here, the Hawks turned the ball over a lot, 22 turnovers, and a lot of it came in the first quarter. And against a team like the Spurs, who we mentioned in our three keys, shoot a ton of threes, they made 19 threes tonight out of 42 attempts and shot 40, that's 45%. When you turn over a team that shoots the ball as well and as many threes as San Antonio does, that's going to put the Hawks in the hole because they just can't keep up with those threes. And I think ultimately that's the biggest thing you're going to look at when they look at this game, the turnover story.
I think it puts the Hawks in a really tough position with the lack of shooting on the roster as of right now, definitely in the starting lineup. But we did see in this game guys like Larry Nance, Bogdan Bogdanovic, DeAndre Hunter all step up from the three-point line and do a decent job at keeping the Hawks in this game where it felt like the Hawks were kind of falling out of it.
Yeah, the bench was huge again. And I think we had some questions about, you know, how was Larry Nance going to fare after not playing since the beginning of December with Onyeka Okongwu out? I think he answered the bell there, had his best game of the season, number-wise, 21-13 off the bench. And in 31 minutes, I think you see that high number of minutes from Nance is because of Victor Wembanyama. In this game, we'll just start with the stat line for Victor Wembanyama here. 42 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks, 7 threes, and 13 of 24 from the field. Wembanyama was ridiculous in this game. And the Hawks, Quinn Snyder, chose to close with a lineup that employed all guys capable of making threes. And that's why you saw Nance out there a lot closing games. And he made his first 3 threes in the night. He was 5 of 6 from deep. I mean, when his number is called, he comes through more often than not. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything sports betting. Every stat, matchup breakdown, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during games. BetOnline has the largest catalog of odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, NBA, and even political props. When the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts.
He does. And, you know, the interesting part, and I think Hawks fans, some will question this. Dyson Daniels did not close this game. The Hawks chose to go with Bogdan Bogdanovic. And I felt like the defense kind of felt that a little bit in this game, definitely towards the end. But, you know, for the Hawks, it was, you know, what could you do to limit everybody else besides Victor Wembanyama? And I think the Hawks did a decent job. But as you talked about in the beginning of this pod, the turnovers, like, they can't have that many turnovers and expect to win this game. And for this to even be that close of a game with the turnovers is a positive sign for the Hawks. I think that they are starting to figure things out. Larry Nance Jr. is too good to be a third center on any NBA team. I think that he deserves probably to have a backup job somewhere. We know the trade deadline's coming. We've had, you know, multiple conversations about, you know, what the Hawks could or couldn't do. I think right now the Hawks are kind of settled in on, you know, where they're at right now. And I don't know if the Hawks kind of force any kind of trades, but I think that Larry Nance is a guy to keep an eye on. I know Onyeka is going to be out for at least the next week, the next three more games now after this one. But if Nance keeps playing this well, like, there's going to be a lot of interest in Larry Nance come trade deadline.
Yeah, for sure. The offense that he gives, the spacing is a huge boost. He's been shooting the lights out of the ball from three. And, you know, you brought up, I want to talk about the turnovers again here in a different aspect, because the Hawks shot 47% from the field this game. They shot 42% from the three. So if they don't turn the ball over, or when they didn't, when they had that, when they valued the ball, they secured the ball, they didn't throw away, any passes, they made shots. And the offense looked good outside of those turnovers. So that's something that, like you said, is encouraging moving forward. But I do think that we have a large enough sample size now from the Hawks that against bad teams, they do turn the ball over a lot. And the Spurs aren't in the same realm as, like, the Wizards or the Trailblazers or the Nets or the Pistons or some of these other or the Hornets, some of these teams that the Hawks have lost to. But the Spurs are still probably a team that you figure is going to finish with a worse record than the Hawks. But they are healthy. And their big three, Sochan, Wemby, and Devin Vassell, all played well in this game.
They did. And, you know, I want to refer to it as the Victor Wembanyama effect. If you just dig into the points in the paint in this game, Mikey, the Hawks only won by 4 points. And, you know, that's the Hawks' kind of bread and butter of, you know, this season so far, is dominating the points in the paint, hitting threes whenever they're open, and pushing the ball down the floor. And in this game, San Antonio won the fast break points 26-24. But the Hawks won the second chance points 16-9. And I think that's a really interesting stat. And something I wanted to dig a little bit more into is, whenever you look at a guy like Victor Wembanyama, you would think that he would be dominant on the boards. Only 6 rebounds in this game. And I thought the Hawks did a really good job of kind of boxing him out, sealing him off, and you know, at least attacking the offensive glass whenever they had a chance.
I agree. Overall, the Hawks won the rebounding battle 53-42. And that's another stat on the margin that you can normally look at. When you rebound well, you shoot this well, and that normally leads to winning games. But because of all those turnovers and missed opportunities, missed shooting possessions, that's why the Hawks lost. And the Spurs, by the way, the Spurs in the first quarter did not turn the ball over a lot at all. But after that, the Hawks' defense got more physical. They pressured them. And Wembanyama in this one had 5 turnovers. I thought the Hawks, whenever Wemby put the ball on the floor, did a good job of stopping him from creating his shot and getting to the rim easily. But even then, when the Spurs have 17 turnovers and you have 22, I think the Hawks need to find a way to win that game just because of their defense. Their defense has been so good lately. But on paper, I don't know if we discussed this before the game. On paper, though, I know I mentioned to you before we got on air, the Hawks just don't have anybody to contest Victor Wembanyama. There were so many step-back threes in this game that he hit that even Clint Capella, who's 6'10", 6'11", Wembanyama's just shooting over him because he's just that tall and that skilled. So it puts the Hawks in a really tough position when they're turning the ball over and they have to guard a guy who on paper is quote-unquote unguardable for this team. So they put themselves in a rough spot.
Well, and I want to pose this to you, and you know, something I was thinking about was with the Hawks, with Wembanyama shooting so many threes, I thought something that hurt the Hawks a lot was them using the center on Wembanyama the whole time. I think that, you know, if he's going to stand out there at the three-point line, then maybe kind of throw a forward at him, something a little different, because you have guys like Jeremy Sochan who had 20 points tonight. Like, I think that, you know, if you put your center on him and kind of limit what he does, because Wimby could go out and score 60 in a game. If you limit his role players and his supporting cast, you're going to win that game. And I thought that, you know, maybe that would be an option for the Hawks as well, but they decided to stick with the center on Wembanyama.
That's a good point, honestly. And obviously we won't know if Wemby would have gone more inside if the Hawks put a guard on him. But this season, really, whoever has guarded Wembanyama, I've watched a lot of Spurs games this season. They're a really fun team to watch. And he's been at the three-point line a lot, probably more or the majority of the time. And this is my kind of perspective on how the Spurs are handling Wembanyama. I think it's good that he's shooting this many threes because he's 7'4". He's going to get stronger. With his height and his eventual game strength, he's already going to be dominant in the post. If he can be this dominant from the three-point arc as well as having that post skill, it's going to be dangerous for the league more than it already is. So I think this is smart by what the Spurs are doing with Wemby. If this is, you know, the coaching staff telling him to do this or him just staying on the three-point line, launching threes. I know it's quote-unquote bad basketball in some people's eyes, but because the Spurs aren't trying to win currently, they're not in contention for a championship, I think it's good for the Spurs and both Wembanyama's future.
Well, 15 of his 24 shots came from the three-point line. So,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane for a center. Definitely a guy that's 7'4". I think that, you know, with the Hawks, going back to the Hawks, I think that, you know, something really interesting is the Hawks had the 22 turnovers, but only lost the possession battle by 4. I think that, you know, if you get a regular turnover night, I think the Hawks comfortably win this game. And we'll get into a little bit of officiating later on in this game as well, but I think that, you know, overall, turnovers ended up costing the Hawks this game. But they look to bounce back against Memphis in Atlanta on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll get into the game here. We did go over the inactives in the last show. But to start the quarter off, Atlanta was doing a good job of getting into the paint. Their first 10 points were actually in the paint. And then you have back-to-back-to-back threes from Devin Vassell, Harrison Barnes, and Wemby to immediately go up 21-12 for the Spurs. And Dyson Daniels in this game, Tim, he was on the bench quickly with 2 fouls halfway through the first quarter. But in general, I just thought his impact on this game was not his normal self. It just seemed like his defense and both and his offense just it wasn't as Hawks fans are accustomed to knowing him so far this season.
Yeah, and for Dyson Daniels, the weird part is, you know, in the first, and I want to kind of separate this game from first half to second half a little bit with Dyson Daniels. In the first half, he had no effect on the offensive end and also on the defensive end due to foul trouble. He didn't really have that big of an effect as well. And, you know, that's kind of like where it's hard for the Hawks to keep playing him when he has, you know, no impact on both sides of the ball. I think that, you know, for Dyson, I have no doubt that he has impact on the defensive end 98% of the night. This was not one of those games, though. For the Hawks, they started out turning over the ball a lot as well. I mean, they had 6 turnovers within 7 minutes. They were just kind of being a little bit careless with the ball. And it wasn't only Trae Young. It was guys like DeAndre Hunter. You had Jalen Johnson with a turnover. So, you know, I think for the Hawks, it was kind of it was kind of like they were rusty going into this one after a long rest.
Yeah, and the Spurs have a lot of long defenders. Obviously, Wemby is the headliner there, but Sochan has a long wingspan. You know, Stephon Castle's a good defender in the passing lanes. Devin Vassell as well got, I think, had two steals in this one. So they were careless around a Spurs team that does like to jump the passing lanes. But in general, the Spurs had five steals already in this game. And after Nance and Bogey hit back-to-back threes to cut the deficit to three, Victor Wembanyama comes down a couple possessions later and runs into a 29-foot four-point play. I was shocked that he shot this, and when it went in, I was just like, "All right, there's nothing the Hawks can do against that."
There really isn't. I didn't like the foul call because I think DeAndre Hunter was planted. He was just standing there and somehow got a foul call. I'll do my rant on officiating now. I thought the officiating in this game was very weird. I felt like any play that involved Victor Wembanyama, he got a very soft whistle. I know that he is a 7'4 alien, and he is going to probably demand a different whistle than everybody else. But the issue is on the other end for the Hawks, they were getting no whistle. Like, it was the refs were swallowing the whistle on the Hawks side. They were getting no calls. But on the other end, you have Victor getting soft calls. And it's frustrating for the Hawks being a away team. And we've seen the Hawks deal with officiating a whole lot different this year than what they have been. The Atlanta Hawks have not been letting the officials get in their heads. They have not been, playing that kind of game where they just kind of keep playing no matter what. And in this game, they did the same. But unfortunately, at the end of this one, man, there was a tough one that unfortunately got missed.
There was indeed. And yeah, with the Hawks, they were down 36-29 after the first quarter. 8 first quarter turnovers for Atlanta. And the Spurs were only 11 of 27 from the field and had 36 points because they were 6 of 13 from deep. So another team getting off to a hot start from beyond the arc against the Hawks.
That also has to do with Charles Bassey missing 4 layups up under the rim by himself.
Yes, the Spurs missed a lot of layups in this game, actually, especially Bassey. But they could have won if they're in the locker room after if they lost this game, they're probably saying, "Man, we missed a ton of layups tonight."
Yeah, a lot of easy ones. But the Hawks, starting out the second quarter, going 11-0 run, forcing turnovers to go up 40-36. Larry Nance Jr. hits 3 threes in a row. For the Hawks, they were doing a good job at trying to force Wemby out of the paint. And whenever they do that, the offense kind of opened up a good bit. And I thought that was something that the Hawks were going to have to kind of lean into. But whenever you start employing more three-point shooters, the issue is your defensive end is going to struggle a little bit. And so, therefore, the Spurs come back on a 9-0 run. The Hawks are just fouling. And I don't want to harp on the officiating any more than I already have. Wemby has been fouled 3 times behind the arc already in this game. That's rough.
Yeah. I mean, overall for the game, Wembanyama had shot 12 free throws for the game. And most of that is from just 3-point fouling. 7 of them alone, because one of them was a 3-point play, and then the other 2 he missed. But as a result, he got 3 free throws. So kind of got us some bad fouls there from the Hawks. But in the second quarter, it was crazy. It was a 3-point shootout between the centers. It was Wembanyama and it was Larry Nance. But here's a key play, another 4-point play. It would have ramifications for the end of the game. Trae Young knocked down a 3. There was a foul on Stephon Castle, and it was upgraded to a flagrant 1 because it was a reckless closeout. Trae Young comes down, lands on his foot, and that comes up later in the game. He ends up hurting his ankle. Now, Trae Young comes back and plays this full game pretty much, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on because to close this game out, Trae Young did not look like he was 100% healthy.
He did not. And, you know, to tie up your free throw thing with Wembanyama about the three-point line, I just want to throw Hawks fans a stat out there. You know, in this game, Victor took a good bit of free throws. He averages 4.2 a game. So you look at the disparity there. I mean, how many did he shoot, Mikey? How many free throws did Wembanyama shoot?
12.
12. He averages 4. So something seemed a little off in this game, and I'll leave it at that. But, you know, for the Trey thing, turning the ankle on Castle, you know, that's not what Hawks fans want to see. Definitely with, you know, Trey struggling. But, you know, even for the Hawks, though, they go on a 17-4 run right after that to go up 11 points, 66-60 at halftime. You know, the Hawks gave back just a little bit of it after, you know, a turnover and a Vassell three to go into halftime. But I think that, you know, for the Hawks, they didn't close the second quarter probably the best, but I felt like they had a fighting chance in this game to kind of close it out.
Yeah, this was their best quarter by a mile, because we said the Hawks had 8 turnovers in that first quarter. They only had 2 in the second, and they won the second frame 37-24. That just shows you how good the Hawks offense was if they kept the ball. At halftime, Wemby had 24 points, but the Hawks had a lot of balanced scoring. It was 5 of them in double digits. And after the Spurs didn't turn the ball over in the first, they had 9 at halftime. So it was kind of just a close game again because of how well the Hawks played in that second quarter.
Yeah, and kind of going into the third quarter, the Hawks end up challenging a play on Jalen Johnson almost immediately after the third quarter started. I don't know what the ref saw, but it was a clean block on Jeremy Sochan. The Hawks, you know, in general in the third quarter, I want to get this out there, Victor Wembanyama in this third quarter did not score a point. The Hawks defense really stepped up and gave them a chance to really kind of, you know, grab this game by the horns and create that separation. Unfortunately for the Hawks, the shots just weren't falling. You know, the Hawks, you know, were being a whole lot more physical on the defensive end with Victor, and they were getting away with it finally in this game.
Yeah, only 21 points in the third, the lowest scoring quarter for Atlanta. It was tied at 80. They weren't able to create that separation. And after the third quarter, the Hawks scored down 90-87. So this was a close game heading into the fourth quarter. But since the end of that first frame, the Hawks looked like a different team. They were playing well.
They were. And kind of going into the fourth, DeAndre Hunter completely catches on fire in this game. He starts out with the first 7 points in the fourth quarter. He had 12 points in general, but when Victor Wembanyama got back on the floor, the Hawks were not going to hold him scoreless from here on out. You know, the Spurs cut the deficit to 2. I think that for the Hawks, a lot of this kind of stagnant offense kind of happened whenever Dyson Daniels and Zachary Richesha were on the floor early in this fourth quarter. And once they got off the floor and Bogey and DeAndre Hunter came in, I felt like the Hawks just hit like a rocket ship. You know, they hit the boost button and really took off on the offensive side. Unfortunately, on the defensive side, it was, you know, a fight.
Yeah, it looked like the Hawks were definitely accepting that Wemby was going to be Wemby, and they were going to try to put up points. This is the second highest scoring quarter after the second. But for the Hawks, they put themselves in a rough spot. The Spurs went on an 11-2 run for a 105-101 lead with 4 minutes left. And at this mark, 4 minutes left in the game, this is when the questions surround Trae Young. He appears to be limping. He goes back to the locker room. He does come back. But, Tim, it's clear when he comes back that he doesn't have his normal burst and that same speed that he did prior to that fourth quarter and turning an ankle on Castle's foot.
Yeah, and for Trey, he gets back in this game, and I actually think he plays pretty well to kind of end out this game.
I don't
think there was much to complain about how, you know, he played even after he came back. The problem was whenever the Hawks gave up that lead with Trey back in the locker room, that 105-101, man, you could tell Trey was definitely missed on the offensive end, where the Hawks were just kind of taking highly contested shots, turning the ball over, just making some poor decisions.
Yeah, it was just 2 minutes he was in the locker room, but I think it was at least I think the Hawks were -6 in those 2 minutes with him in the locker room. So it kind of shows how well Trey was orchestrating the offense before that. And with no Kobe Bufkin, obviously, and V. Krejci, while he did play better in this game, the offense and the shot-making wasn't there. So they really didn't have another option. Trae Young had to come back in this game.
He did. And as soon as he came back in this game, he had an and-one on Jeremy Sochan to make it 112-110 for a Hawks lead. I think that for for the Hawks, whenever they have Trae on the floor, the offense just runs so smooth. And could they get stops to end this game? That is the key question. And unfortunately, they couldn't.
No, there was some really good shot making, though, to end this regulation. Trae Young, Devin Vassell, Jalen Johnson, and Chris Paul. And Chris Paul's was actually a 4-point play. All four of them hit consecutive threes back to back to back to back. And because of that 4-point play, the Spurs took a 119-118 lead with 54 seconds left. But then Jeremy Sochan commits a pretty terrible foul, sending Trae Young to the line. And this, it kind of bailed out the Hawks right there. And you'd think for two easy points, but Trae Young misses both free throws at the line. You rarely see that.
And coming back on the other end, Trae misses a wide open three, but then the Hawks were forced to foul Victor Wembanyama with time expiring. And Victor, with the Spurs still only up 119-118, misses one free throw and gives the Hawks a chance. 120-118. The next play is absolutely insane, Mikey. I will try to break this down as best as I can. The Hawks end up calling a timeout. They take it out on the side with Trae Young. Trae Young inbounds the ball to Larry Nance, where DeAndre Hunter is completely on the other side of the floor. And DeAndre Hunter takes off running with a full head of steam. Larry Nance pitches him the ball on the sideline. He comes around the corner and absolutely detonates on Victor Wembanyama. I'm talking about a poster of all posters on a 7'4" guy. I mean, he just laid it on. Then just stood over him and just meme mugged him, and both guys ended up getting a tech right there. But wow, DeAndre Hunter even got fouled on that play, and that's what I was talking about earlier, where I felt like the officials kind of missed that call. Both guys get a tech, you know, and San Antonio gets a chance to win this game in regulation.
Yeah, that play was nuts. And I'm sure the last 2 minute report tomorrow is definitely going to be interesting for both sides to read. But yeah, the Spurs have the ball and they can win this game. But a rare mistake on an entry pass from Chris Paul. Larry Nance tips the ball off Wembanyama. Now the Hawks have the ball to win this game. And it's a tie game. The Hawks inbound it to the backcourt. Trae Young gets switched onto Wemby. And Trae ends up taking a step back mid-ranger over Wembanyama, and he had to really lift that ball over him. I'm not sure if Wemby got a piece of that. It kind of looked like he did, but even so, the shot did not fall, and the game ended up going to overtime. We've seen this a lot from the Hawks, where they will inbound the ball to the backcourt and give it to Trae Young and run screen, see how it goes. Fortunately for them, that play hasn't worked out lately.
It hasn't as much, and One thing I wanted to kind of bring up about that play before we get into overtime, that play, you could tell when Jalen sets the screen for Trey and gets the switch off of Victor, Trey is looking for Jalen to cut and he never cuts. I think that, you know, that's something him and Jalen have been trying to work on during this season, and something hopefully they get figured out, because there was another overtime game, it's slipping my mind right now, where they ran that play with DeAndre Hunter and ended up getting a three to win a game. I think that, you know, that's something that him and Jalen are still trying to figure out right now. But I think, it was the game against the Lakers where DeAndre sets the screen, Trey kicks him the ball, Trey kicks it back for the trade three. But, unfortunately for Jalen, he didn't cut. Trey had to take the hard contested shot, and the overtime they go. But in overtime, it is the Victor Wembanyama show. You know, he hits a three, gets a block, has a poster. The Hawks end up going down 130 to 126 with a minute left. You know, for Victor, it was just hard for the Hawks to kind of contest him in overtime. And then you have CP3 hitting a dagger three over Larry Nance to kind of close this one out. The Spurs were 3-for-3 on threes in overtime. That's rough.
Yeah, Chris. Safe to say, Chris Paul definitely made up for that poor entry pass in what could have been the Spurs' final possession in regulation. He was really good in this overtime period.
All right, as we go into the box score of this one, we'll go ahead and start out with the bench unit. Starting out with Bogdan Bogdanović, 31 minutes, 3-of-9 from the field, 2-of-7 from deep, 2-of-2 from the free throw line. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 10 points. I thought Bogey played okay in this game. You'd like to see him shoot the 3 ball a little bit better, but I felt like defensively, Bogey was actually okay in this game.
Moving to Vic Krejci in 20 minutes, 0-of-4 from the field, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. Despite the shot not going in, I was actually pretty impressed with what Veet did in this game. That wasn't amazing by any stretch of the word, but the way he was pushing the ball and getting into the paint, I think we saw a lot of stuff that Hawks fans were impressed with what Veet Krejci did at the end of last season. I thought he brought that here, so hopefully that can continue and the shots can fall and end up looking like a better box score than what he than how he really played.
And I think these two next guys probably should have been the co-players of the game if the Hawks would have won. I'll start out with DeAndre Hunter. 36 minutes, 9 of 15 from the field, 4 of 8 from deep, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 27 points. I thought DeAndre Hunter played really good in this game. The 3 turnovers are a little worrsome, but the sixth man of the year, DeAndre Hunter, is becoming a real thing. And I think that, you know, the Hawks need him to play this well. And, it's awesome to see.
For Larry Nance Jr., 31 minutes, 8 of 13 from the field, 5 of 6 from deep, 13 boards, 2 dimes, 1 steal, 1 block, 21 points. We said at the top of the show, Larry Nance continues to produce anytime his name is called. And that's a sign of a veteran player. And Nance, he's going to get extended playing time here. So the Hawks are going to need his shooting for sure, because they don't have a lot of it on the roster.
That is correct. And heading to the starting lineup, starting out with the rookie, Zachary Richichet, 22 minutes, 4 of 13 from the field, 1 of 4 from deep, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 9 points. I felt like Zach in this game was okay. I think that, you know, he really kind of struggling shooting the ball right now. Defensively, I thought he was okay, but, you know, for him, hopefully he can get that shot going, because the Hawks really need him.
They do. And they also need Dyson Daniels to play better. In 28 minutes, 2 of 6 from the field, 0 of 2 from deep, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 4 points. In this game, Dyson was a minus 34, and nobody else was a negative in the double digits. So hopefully a bounce back game from Dyson Daniels against the Grizzlies next time out. And I'm sure, at least defensively, that you'll get that for sure.
And moving to Clint Capela, 21 minutes, 5 of 7 from the field, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 10 points. I thought Clint Capela played pretty good in this game. I know his first stint probably wasn't the greatest, but after that first stint, I thought he played really well. It's hard to guard a 7'4" guy, and I thought he, did okay.
We'll go to Jalen Johnson next. 38 minutes, 8 of 14 from the field, 1 of 1 from deep, 5 of 6 from the stripe, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and 22 points. Jalen Johnson played much better in the second half of this game, definitely attacking the rim. And Hawks fans now, we're used to saying a lot of stuffed stat sheets for Jalen Johnson, and he continues to do that here.
He does. And moving to Trae Young, 37 minutes, 7 of 16 from the field, 3 of 6 from deep, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, 16 assists, 3 steals, 5 turnovers, 23 points. I'd like to see Trae, a little bit lower on the turnover part, but, for 16 assists, 5 turnovers, isn't horrible. I think for Trae, a lot of Hawks fans are hoping and wishing that ankle is going to be okay. It is a positive sign to see Trae get back on the floor in this game, but it'll be interesting to see, what the Hawks do, for Memphis on Saturday night.
And we'll move on to the three keys for that game. The first one's going to be, the Hawks are going against a great shot blocker in Jaren Jackson Jr. after just seeing Victor Wembanyama. So in a lot of similar ways, now obviously Wembanyama is the top of the league in there. Jaren Jackson Jr. is probably second or third on that list. So kind of the same principles apply. Definitely have a plan when you're attacking the rim and know that he's going to be lurking around there to swat your shot away.
And, for the second key is going to be bench scoring. Memphis has the second best bench unit in the NBA. The Hawks have the third. So it'll be interesting to see how they match up against each other. I think that, hopefully for the Hawks, they can show a better defensive effort with that second unit and hopefully, be able to gain some ground definitely during that stretch while Trae is out, if he does play Saturday.
And for the final key here, it's going to be prepared to match the energy from Memphis. They're coming off a ridiculous win against the Golden State Warriors, absolutely blew them out. And the last time the Hawks played in a barn burner game like this against the Lakers, they came out with low energy against the Nuggets and got blown out in that game. So hopefully the Hawks don't come out like that, and they're prepared to match Memphis's energy from the tip-off.
And as we go to close this one out, all of our listeners, make sure you're following Ethos Hawks on X for all your latest content needs. As always, this podcast is presented by Bet Online. Mikey, get us out of here.
And that'll do it for this episode of the Sports Ethos Atlanta Hawks podcast. Make sure to follow this podcast wherever you get your podcast content, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. You can follow me on X at MRK Hoops and follow Tim at Tim_ATL. Be on the lookout to receive the latest Hawks coverage. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Peace.
Peace.